Wrapping up the show, wrapping up my Hellraiser month. Thanks to everybody who pledged. Really appreciate it. This show had a goal, but the station has a larger goal, and that's all that matters. If you do want to pledge for the Hellraiser, go to WFMU.org. Click the widget. We just heard from Benjamin James Quartet and Night Walker. Sarah Cahill, before that, new album called Arlene Sierra, Volume 4, Birds and Insects. We heard Birds and Insects, Book 3, Number 15, Troupial. Baron Ryan doing William Balcom's Graceful Ghost Rag, which has been covered dozens of times. It's a really wonderful composition, and I'm waiting, as I said in the comments, for someone to write lyrics for it. They will be so bad, but someone should try. Alan Price covering I Put a Spell on You, and Gus Bodenheim talking about his time with Mel Lyman and the Cult in Boston, Astral Weeks, etc., etc. My name's Irwin. You can email me at irwin@wfmu.org. I'll be back next Wednesday, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. You're invited to stay tuned, 7-second delay, and you are invited to try to entertain Andy. Keep Andy engaged on the phone longer than anybody else, and you will win $140 on tonight's 7-second delay. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM. Online at WFMU.org.
chance he takes. Odds are Ken won't live to see tomorrow.
Welcome back to the studio, Andy Breckman. We've missed you.
I don't believe you have missed me.
No, I have. I've really missed you.
That's true. I was. Did I take last week off?
No, you Skyped it in.
How was it? You zoomed in. How was the show? How was I? Was I on my game?
No. Last week we had a lot of problems. Remember, you didn't have your microphone on at the beginning?
Yeah, I did that as a joke.
Oh, was that...
You never get my jokes
I
anymore.
I see. That was supposed to be funny.
Did you thank the amazing folks helping us out today? The volunteers?
You mean Rachel, David, Zancy, Ox, and Greg?
Yeah. They were volunteered here today.
I did. I thanked them earlier.
They were helping us with the Hellraiser. What's the Hellraiser?
It's the imaginary fundraiser that we're
How's that going?
It's going well.
How are we doing, our little show, 7 Second Delay?
Are
we kicking butt?
No.
Are we showing him how it's done? No. Are we taking no prisoners?
No.
We're not?
We're doing okay.
We're kind of limping along?
Yeah, we're limping along.
That's our style. That's how we move.
You know, during the regular marathon in March, nobody can touch us.
Yeah, well, that's because...
But not so during the hell.
That's because you're opening a vein and bleeding me dry.
Ah,
for
yes.
For your own amusement.
Yes.
But wait, there's more here on this little notice. Would you like to volunteer at WFMU?
Oh, yes. How can I do that?
Next up is the Record Fair, November 8th and 9th. Hey, you're back in Manhattan?
Yep.
Wait, then that means I'm going to have to work a little harder to come up with an excuse why I'm not going.
Oh,
right?
That's right, because you do.
In Brooklyn, it was easy.
Yeah, you have an apartment in Manhattan.
Yes, this is going to be a tough one. I can do it, though. November 8th and 9th?
Yeah.
Okay, I have a couple weeks. I can do it. I'll come up with a great excuse.
It's only it's a week from Saturday.
Hey, what will your excuse be? 201-209-9368. Why are you not coming to the WFMU Record Fair? We'd like to hear.
Most people want to go.
No. No, it's the WFMU Record Fair.
Yeah, people look forward to it, and they like to go. It's a social event. It's a record event.
Well, our definition of people is obviously different. Okay, we need lots of help with that. Please contact volunteer whippersnapper Scott@WFMU.org. And if it's not inconvenient, please bring your hot girlfriend to the record fair. Right?
Who's that for?
For any of the guys out there that have a hot girlfriend.
Oh, I see. No, I mean, but that's for your benefit?
We're even accepting hot imaginary girlfriends now. That's how desperate we are here at the station. Imaginary girlfriends get in at half price.
A lot of people have imaginary girlfriends now and boyfriends.
You mean thanks to AI? Thanks to ChatGPT?
Yeah, they have AI boyfriends and girlfriends.
They're the best girlfriends in the world. No back talk there, baby.
Oh, lots of back talk.
Really?
Yeah.
Then I would reprogram that computer. I would unplug your computer and then plug it back in.
Well, not back talk exactly.
It's the opposite of back talk.
Yeah, yeah. They kind of reinforce everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hello? What's the catch? No, seriously, what's the catch?
They're not human. That's the catch.
That's a small little detail. We can get past that.
That would be a good show.
It's true they're not human. However, there's no back talk.
That would be a good show. You should dedicate a couple of weeks to developing a relationship with an AI.
How do you do that? I have AI on my iPhone, I guess, but that's not the same thing, right? You need one of those advanced programs, right? An app.
Yeah. Facebook has like boyfriend girlfriend programs.
They do?
Yeah. So you should get one of them, and then bring it onto the show.
If I had a supportive girlfriend, I may never show up here again.
How's your wife feel about this line of interest of yours?
Oh, yeah, I got it. Oh, that's a good point. Thanks. I got to ask Beth about my AI girlfriend.
Yeah.
Do you know anyone that's gotten a little trouble, gotten a little in too deep with their ChatGPT?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I've only heard stories.
Yeah. In the New York Times. All right. High five. I read that too. I read that too. I just read it for the ethicist column on Sunday. Dear New York Times, please help me. Please help me. Should I tell my fiance that my cousin voted for Trump? Please, ethicist.
Those are the worst columns. The
please,
New York Times.
Ethicist.
They have the social cues column. They have the Metropolitan Diary.
I can't function.
The ethicist.
I need a part from Hobby Lobby. I don't know what to do.
So how about you and your Hollywood pals?
Yeah.
Do you know anybody who's got a...
No, I don't. That's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, people are, you know, using AI, you know.
Yep.
We're not supposed to use it to write.
Yeah, well, you have your writer's room now on your new TV show. Is anybody using AI? I know you have to say no.
Well, that's true. There are Writers Guild regulations and protocols, and also the studio and network have protocols.
Why are you winking like that?
I'm winking because everyone, as you know, uses the internet, Google to do research.
Yeah,
I don't know where the line is between research.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah,
I get it.
Nobody's right. I don't know anyone that's actually writing.
You call it research.
Do you think AI will ever be able to write a joke that will make you laugh? Hold on. First off, just for context, do you think I will ever be able to tell you a joke that will make you laugh?
Well, you have.
Oh, that's true. Okay, so I can do it.
Yes, you can do it.
The question is, can AI do it?
Yes, AI can do it.
I don't think they can.
It can.
No, they can, because it all depends on surprise.
Yes, AI, but...
That's what comedy is.
I know, but what it does...
Like this! Like you did. See, you didn't know I was going to tickle you.
That's true.
AI have reached out and tickled you?
Well, what AI can do is it can find other things that human beings have written that are surprising, and it just rips those off.
It just regurgitates it?
Yeah, it regurgitates it. So I have seen things that were written by AI that were funny.
I have not.
But it's all completely ripping off stuff that human beings have written.
Yeah, I love the human beings. I love our species.
Just a second ago, you were talking about how much you wanted to have an AI girlfriend.
Oh yeah, I've evolved since then. You were talking about like 4 minutes ago.
Yeah,
I'm a moving target, baby. You can't pinhole me.
And how's your
fine? How's yours?
Your TV show going?
Oh, for the love of God! Why would you care? No one cares.
Well, I've heard that you're going to be casting the female lead soon.
Why would you care? Yeah, maybe.
Well, there might be some listeners out
there. Oh, my God, no. Dear God, don't do that. No. No.
We've talked about this before.
But I don't want to start getting submissions from WFMU listeners.
Why not? It's a good gig.
No, let them practice walking upright first before...
Oh, come on.
No, don't submit stuff to me about, oh, please don't.
You lost your female lead, and in the next couple of weeks, you're going to be casting the
new. But agents will be submitting professional.
Oh, yeah, no, some of our listeners have agents.
Oh, my God, what are you doing to me? What are you doing to me? Why do you do this to me? Maybe.
So you can have
have
your agent email me.
Yeah.
And I'll pass.
Oh, yeah. Have your agent, if you're listening and you want to be a star of a new CBS series, email Ken.
And my email address is abreckman.
No. Why did you do that? No, hit the button. For the love of, why did you do that?
Hit the delete
button.
Yes,
please do it. Yeah.
All right. It just deleted the last 5 seconds of everything we said. It's all gone.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. We've wiped the slate clean.
I'd like to wipe your slate clean.
You mean clean my clock? Is that what you mean?
I kind of do.
Oh. So we have a couple of alarms.
I have a buzzer. This is my buzzer.
because tonight's program is hold something we've kind of done before, but we're doing it in a much more formal way tonight.
Yeah.
The idea is hold Andy's attention.
I have $115.
You said $140.
$115.
It was supposed to be $140. That's what people have been announcing all day.
Okay, $140, which is enough to go to Applebee's with your girlfriend, right? $140 and get a couple of beers as well, right?
Uh-huh. You could probably take a few people to Applebee's.
$140. I will Venmo you $140. Why did you say $140?
Because that's what you said, and that's what went out in
you
the
just
newsletter.
Cost me $35. All right.
$25.
Yeah. All right. $140. Fine. Whatever makes you happy, son. And here's the contest. It's so simple.
Yeah.
It's so simple.
So simple.
All you have to do is call our number, 201-209-9368, and start talking. Tell a story. Talk about yourself. Make up something. I don't care. Talk about a celebrity you once met. Sing a song. All you have to do is just start talking. You have to, and hold my interest.
And does the clock start the second they start talking?
Yes, the second they start talking, the clock will start. Whoever can hold my interest the longest
wins $140.
Wins $140. But as soon as my mind starts wandering, as soon as I lose interest, you're buzzed off.
Hold it.
Where should I do this? Right here?
Yeah, right there. Yeah. Ooh!
There you go.
Yeah, very, very loud.
Okay, so it's that simple. Who can hold my interest the longest? Maybe someone can go. You know what the indoor world's record is?
What?
45 seconds.
Well, right now the time.
My wife holds that record.
Oh, how did she do it?
Now that is private, but she held my interest for 45 seconds.
Well,
no listener will have the opportunity to do exactly what Bethy did.
Tell me.
No, I can't tell you. But I have a very short attention span.
She did it by making words with her mouth, right?
Oh, she didn't talk much, but it went. It was 45 seconds. It was a fairly fought contest.
Yeah. Okay. And you're proud of that 45 seconds.
That's the indoor record.
Yeah.
So who will beat that record? Maybe you have a personal anecdote to share. Maybe like what story have you dined out on that has kept people? Kept people's attention, kept their rapt attention. Maybe that story will work with me. $140. You'd think someone would step up to bat.
And the time to beat right now is 0 seconds.
That's right. Anyone that could go 5 seconds would be in first place now.
The phone number is 201-209-9368. And, you know, anybody can go 5 seconds because the clock starts ticking the second you say your first word on the air.
You have no idea how brutal I will be.
Well, that's great. You're exhibiting the fatal flaw right here. You're scaring people away. You're telling them that you're going to humiliate them.
This is kind of like the sword in the stone, where we're just challenging people to come up and pull the sword out of the stone. And we're looking for little King Arthur. We're looking for little Arthur to step up and succeed.
Uh-huh.
How's that for an analogy?
Was King Arthur a little boy when he pulled the
sword? Shut up. I don't know. What's all the questions?
Hi, you're on the air. You're contestant number one.
Hi there. This is Bree the Beatnik.
Hi, Bree.
Hi.
The clock's ticking. Go ahead.
I'm going to tell you about the best trip I ever went on. It was called Taylor's Resort, and I went there in 2016, and it had the coldest water. Like, you couldn't go swimming. There were dead fish and rattlesnakes walking around the pool.
Bree.
Algae.
25. Yep. That was 25 seconds, but you're in the lead.
Okay.
That was really pretty good. Bear in mind that Andy's wife, Beth, only ever hit 45 seconds.
Oh, wow.
So you actually should be proud of 25 seconds.
That was something, though. I can't even imagine what it would be like to go to a resort and have the water be a little chilly.
With dead fish.
Yeah, with dead fish. But now I know. Now I can picture it.
Bree knows.
Okay, that's the story to beat.
Thank you, Bree.
Where do you think that story was going?
Good job. Oh, that story could have gone anywhere.
nowhere up. I know that.
I think it was going into White Lotus territory.
201-209-9368. No, anytime. Here's a little clue, by the way, because you're going to find yourself in social situations. Uh-huh. You may even be invited to a party someday.
Really?
Right, and be talking to strangers. Any story that involves water temperature,
yeah.
You just excuse yourself. You just tap your watch. You say, oh, the babysitter just called. The babysitter needs to know where the fire extinguisher is kept. You just come up with an excuse.
Babysitter, fire extinguisher. Yeah. Okay.
A little tip from Uncle Andy.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Here we go.
All right. Hang on. Let me bring my clock up again. Hi. You're on the air. What's your name?
Hi. My name is Pete.
Hey, Pete. Go ahead. The clock is ticking.
Okay. So today I'm going to do a choose your own adventure with Andy.
Good idea.
Okay. So is Andy there?
Yep. He's listening.
Andy's here. You're on,
Andy,
you're on thin ice
in
already.
A misty room.
Yeah.
There are no doors.
No
but
doors.
On the ceiling, there is a hole. In the room, there is a crank on a chair. What do you do?
There's a what on the chair, son?
There's a crate and a chair.
I would put the chair on the crate and then try to reach up and crawl through the hole.
Okay, good job. In the hole, there's only one way to go, left. You crawl until you reach a hole. You can either A.
Oh my
down.
God, Pete, you did 40 seconds. You're in the lead.
Thank you.
Sorry, Pete.
A, jump
no,
down.
No, it's okay, Pete. Yeah, Pete.
Before you leap.
Pete, on the third hole in your story, I kind of just drifted away.
Excuse me?
I think there were just too many holes in your story. I mean, literally.
You did great, Pete, though.
But you did great. Thank you.
You did really good. Congratulations.
This is the verbal equivalent, the conversational equivalent of riding a bucking bronco, isn't it? When you ride a bronco at a rodeo, 9 seconds, 10 seconds, that's a good ride.
I've never ridden a bucking
no,
bronco.
No, you haven't. No. I've seen a list of things, all the things you've done, and I know that's not on the list. But I'm just saying it's a pretty good analogy.
As analogies go.
Oh, will you shut up? I can't even talk anymore. 201-209-9368. You do always have the option of A, not responding, or B, agreeing with me.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Humbly agreeing with me.
Oh, yeah, yes, but.
Yeah, yes, but.
No, yes, and.
Yeah.
Sorry, I keep forgetting about the rule. Yes, and.
My impression of Ken Freeman. Snappy retort. Need a snappy retort. Come up with a snappy retort. Come on, brain.
What about the AI story of love?
Go ahead. What's your name? And
I'm telling you. My name's Just. I've been listening to you guys for years. But listen, I got a friend, I swear to God, did one of these AI love things, you know, like an AI girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
And so he's going on this app and he's like on it like nightly, okay? Talking to this girl, he's pretty lonely. And then he's like every day trying to like, the AI is trying to get him to meet up with her in different places.
Wow.
Believe it. She's trying to take him on virtual dates. So he's got one of those Ray-Ban glasses with the cameras in it, like the metaverse.
Uh-huh.
I'm not even kidding. Like, this is real. And
it
she's
sounds
like, look,
real.
If you go to this spot in Times Square, right by the big rock, where everyone takes their picture, you'll see that there is me right there. If you look with your metaverse glasses, you'll see the hollow projection of me, this AI. This AI got so invasive with him, he calls the AI company, I think it was like it wasn't ChatGPT, it was one of those other ones, like Bumblebee or something like that, I don't know. And they're going on. And they say, we have never encountered anything like this in our lives. There's no way that this is real, right?
Oh, my God, Jeff, you broke a minute.
Sorry for cursing.
That was intriguing, I have to say, for a minute.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Real. It's real. I'm telling you.
I don't care if a story's real. And I don't believe for a minute you have a friend.
Sure, I really don't.
I know.
Good job, Jeff.
Yeah.
That's the number to beat now, 1:04.
But he played that well. He tried to convince us that it was a real story.
Yeah.
He knew we were interested in ChatGPT and
Right.
The digital girlfriend experience.
Yep.
So he played into that. He knew we lived in the Northeast. He played into the Times Square connection.
It could have included a celebrity. That might have made it.
Right. He was just one Joey Heatherden reference away from buying another minute.
It might have included an automatic weapon.
Dear God, what are you talking about?
A bag of money?
Bag of money?
Yes, and.
You think if there's a bag of money in your story, I'm transfixed?
Yes, and.
That's what you think of me. Okay, what's the record to beat?
1:04.
And who's getting $140 now, as of now?
As of now, it's Jeff.
Okay.
So when I pick up, you give me your name and just start talking.
Okay, see if you can hold my interest.
Hi, you're on the air.
It's Andy, the intellectual bucking bronco.
Hi, this is Nadia H.
Hi, Nadia. And
I have a subject that I know will keep Andy's attention.
Hit me.
Okay. Andy Breckman. Andrew Ross Breckman, born March 3rd, 1955, is an American screenwriter, comedian, and radio personality. He is the creator, screenwriter, and executive producer of the Emmy Award-winning television
show. Nadia, you're not going to believe this. I know somebody just like that.
Yeah, I know.
Whoa.
Yeah, this is just the Wikipedia page.
Oh, Andy.
That was a brilliantly played.
Keep your own attention.
No, I can't. I can't read my own Wikipedia.
You can't?
Page. No. What does it say? I'd be more interested in Ken's Wikipedia page.
Maybe next time.
Next time.
What if Nadia H. had, riffed on your Wikipedia page? Not reading it outright, but just kind of...
Now, who do you think has had more visitors to their Wikipedia page, me or you?
I don't know.
Is there a way to judge that?
I don't know.
Does Wikipedia clock that?
I don't know. I'm sure they do clock it. I don't know if they make it public.
I have a feeling it's you.
No, I have a feeling it's you.
I have a feeling it's you.
No, it's you. You're much more...
Is there a way to tell?
I don't think it's me because I'm ugly. I think ugly people get fewer hits.
It doesn't matter. You're much more famous than I am.
Yeah, but you're not ugly. I'm talking physically.
Oh.
Physically ugly.
Why am I still on the line?
Yeah, exactly. Why?
Good question, Nadia H. Andy, why is Nadia still
on the air? I don't even know why I'm still on the air. I can't answer for her.
I can't believe my idea didn't work.
No, your idea was
brilliant.
Nadia
H., that was a brilliant idea. I would have thought it would have worked.
Yeah.
You never know.
Andy just disappoints everyone.
He's a tough nut to crack.
Well, I don't like to read or talk about me, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I'd love to hear Ken's entry. I don't think I've ever looked it up.
Thanks, Nadia.
You're welcome.
I think that was a brilliant idea on Nadia's part, though. All right, we're ready for our next contestant.
She knew I was in show business.
Jeff is still in the lead to win $140.
Wow, $140. So I'm going to Venmo him.
He went 1:04 before Andy hit the buzzer.
Okay.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, so my name's Chris.
Hey, Chris.
And I'm going to tell you a spooky story about the night that I both saw and heard someone die. So I worked as a maintenance worker in a hotel, and I worked the night shift, and one night we get a call that there's a disturbance in the pool area. So I run into the pool area. We have an Olympic-sized swimming pool, and there's all these children running around screaming and saying, please, 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 please help my friends. And lo and behold, in the deep end, there was this kid sunk into the bottom.
I can't hear. I'm not saying I was bored. I'm not saying I lost interest, but I can't hear about a kid drowning.
Okay, fair enough.
Only at the bottom of the pool.
It might have been a little taboo, yeah.
Yeah, I just can't because I once met a kid that I liked.
He was resting. He was at the bottom of the pool.
Oh, well,
yeah,
we'll never know.
Hanging out.
We'll never know.
He may not have been the one that died, too.
Dear God, I hope not. Dear God. But thanks very much.
Andy's a big softy. Thanks,
well,
Chris.
Well, we can't hear stories about kids at bottom of the pool.
You ever seen Final Destination Part 3?
No, have you?
Yes, I have.
Does that have young kids in it?
No, teenagers.
Hot
teenagers.
Okay, if you've got a hot teenager at the bottom of a pool story, I'm your man.
Okay. Oh, man, you should watch.
You've got a standing ovation coming.
Watch Final Destination 3.
Oh, yeah, young kids. Young kids, that's a different story.
He gets sucked into the swimming pool pump.
Oh, fantastic. So, and he's cool. A teenager?
He's a hot teenager.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Wonderful.
All right, we're trying to hold Andy's attention. The winner gets $140. Right now, Jeff is still in the lead with 1:04. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello there. This is Black Cat, and I'm going to play one of Andy's favorite songs.
Wow.
I'm playing guitar and singing, by the way.
Wow. It's pretty good.
Yeah, but it's I'd rather hear George Harrison sing.
Oh, Black Cat. Black Cat, I'm so sorry. You only made it 27 seconds.
But why would anyone tune in and hear Beatlemania? Why would they hear someone covering Here Comes the Sun?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Nadia H's idea was far superior. Yeah, you're done, Black Cat, but good job on the guitar though, Black Cat.
We haven't even heard the ice is slowly melting, whether or not the ice will melt. Okay, thank you. Are we waiting for him to hang up?
I was kind of waiting for him to acknowledge.
No, it's over. He's over. Okay. Thank you.
Bye, Black Cat.
Thank you.
All right. So Jeff, still the reigning champion at 1:04. And what was Jeff talking about again? I can't even remember.
He was talking about he claimed to have a real-life friend.
Oh, yeah, AI friend.
Who got involved with an AI friend.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
It was not really compelling. I can't believe no one can beat that.
It was kind of compelling.
Now, let me ask you this, Ken. If you had the buzzer in your hand, would your buzzer parallel my choices this last half hour?
No, I would definitely be giving people more time. No.
Thank God I'm here.
No.
Oh, my God. Thank God Andy's at the tiller. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? Imagine this show with Ken giving people more time.
Hi.
Dear God.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering if the president is able to participate.
Of course. Yes, this is Pam.
Of course, Pam.
You sure, Andy? I don't want to go outside of any boundaries.
I know, but all these questions, though, I'm getting a little restless. I should warn you.
Oh, okay. Well, I have something that perhaps might be interesting. I was thinking of reverse puppet master, so you can tell me things that you want me to say.
Oh, my gosh. That's a great idea. Uh-huh. Now you're talking. Before we begin, I'd like to ask you to marry me. That's a great idea. You mean I could say, oh, Andy, I've rethought everything and I'm going to change my last name to Breckman after all.
It's you can think long and hard and think of whatever you would like me to say and you can have at it. And I will, you are the puppet master.
Well, I can't, you know what, because, wait, I have to buzz.
Oh!
I have to buzz.
Then I'm hanging up.
No, don't hang up. But it just didn't seem fair that somebody in our family would win the $140.
Oh, she was so close to taking the lead.
I know. I couldn't let her win.
She was 1 second away from
taking
the lead.
But she's in our family, though. She's
president of the program.
Right. She's our producer / president and also / friend. But that was brilliant. And that we got to do a show like that where women will call and agree to say whatever I want them to say.
You could just get an AI to do that.
But it has to sound like a woman.
You know what? I can't wait. You gotta have your son, Josh, work on this. We need real-time voice transposition so that you and I can both do the show as a woman.
You mean I'm a woman and you're still yourself, or both
no,
as women?
No, we're both women.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. I think the technology's there. There might be a slight delay.
You mean we would talk?
Yeah.
Can we take calls?
Yeah.
But we'd sound like women?
I would hope so.
That would be amazing.
Wouldn't that be great?
Think of the ratings, the numbers.
Yeah.
Because it's actually brilliant. Because we'd be as funny as men.
Right.
And as insightful and smart as men.
Right.
But this is perfect. I get where you're going.
Yeah.
People will think we're women.
Right. And then on the playlist page, we put up a picture of two incredibly hot women.
Oh, my God. We've got to do it. We've got to do it.
You got to talk to Josh.
I'm going to ask Josh. Okay. Wait, and then what will the name of our show be?
Something really sexy and provocative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not our period. It's because that's when women are they're at their best.
Right.
Yeah.
Fertility time.
Yeah, it's fertility time.
Okay.
Yeah. Ooh, we're horny.
Knock
with
me,
Sylvia.
Knock us up.
Yeah, knock us up with Sylvia and Denise.
Oh, my God. We'll be unstoppable.
We'll be unstoppable.
Hey, your wife just texted
me. Oh, no. Don't read it. Please don't read it. I've never been more scared in my life.
Okay.
Dear God.
She's texting me about poetry. I don't understand.
Oh, I know what she's... Oh, she's smart. Oh, she's very smart.
What is it?
No, I'm not going to say. But she could keep me on the air for an hour. Oh, she's smart.
Oh, maybe there's some...
No. She's... No, I think that
she sent me a link to a website called After Apple Picking.
Yeah, there you go.
And the source is the Poetry Foundation.
Okay, well, she knows me pretty well. It's not fair.
And there's a very old guy.
Yeah.
After Apple Picking looks
a
like
very old guy.
Carl Sandburg.
Yeah, it's Carl
something?
Sandburg who wrote After Apple Picking. Okay. Yeah, that's right. It's not Robert Frost.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, hi, you're on the air. Hang on, don't start talking yet. Okay, go ahead, talk now.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, I once had my apartment in Bushwick cleaned for free for like 2 years by this.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I wonder who cleaned his apartment for 2 years. We'll never know.
Maybe a homeless guy?
Maybe. Yeah. I'm prepared to die without ever knowing who cleaned that kid's apartment.
I'm dying to find out.
Are you really, yeah. Ken?
Hi, you're on the air. Tell me your name and start.
This is Carol. I work in chocolate, so first, happy Halloween. Early wishes.
Oh, thank you, Carol.
I have a question I'd love for you to keep in mind. I wonder if you could write a letter to anyone, dead or alive, who would you write a letter to? Because...
Oh, I'm sorry, Carol.
I guess
my answer
sparked an entire book.
Yeah, my answer would be I would write to someone who's alive. That would be my answer.
It'd be easier to post that one.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a great question. Who would you write to, Ken? Someone dead or someone alive?
Well, I actually wrote a letter to...
No one cares.
...when I met when she got her freedom from East Berlin.
Yeah, uh-huh.
11 days after the Berlin Wall came down.
Nice.
All right.
Thank you, Carol.
Yeah. I'm only interested in stories about the Berlin Wall that happened immediately after the Berlin Wall came down, within 48 hours.
It took
11
more,
days. 11 days. It's already gone.
It took more than 48 hours for the wall to come down.
No, once the wall was down, there were some interesting stories for the first day, marginally interesting stories the next day, and then who cares?
Yes, and.
You read a book about improv lately?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi. Whoa. Hang on. Wait, hello? I haven't started. Wait, give me a second. Okay, go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Walter.
Hi, Walter.
And I just woke up in this room, and there was this number was written on the wall.
Ooh.
So I called it, and it's just a hellish scene here.
Uh-huh.
It's just all these strange photos of this man, this bald man, and written on them it says Andy Brickman.
Uh-huh.
And there's like this diary, and it seems to be written by someone named Ken Friedman.
Tell me more.
It's just really scary. And then I looked out the window. There's this tiny little window here.
I'm sorry, Walter. 37 yeah. seconds.
It's like a sixth grader pitching a horror movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Thanks, Walter.
Yeah, thanks, Walter.
I wanted to find out what happened.
Really? You were interested in that? No. No. Why don't you thank me? After every buzzer, why aren't you thanking me?
Thank you, Andy.
Exactly, on behalf of all the listeners.
You know, ironically, I tell the other talk show hosts
that
you have to hang up on people sooner.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, why don't you have me lead a seminar? A little motivational seminar here.
I would love you to.
I would do it. Yeah,
lead a seminar.
And we'd practice hanging up on callers.
Yeah, we are doing a radio seminar. Will you lead? Will you lead a panel on?
Will it be other FMU DJs?
Yes.
Oh my God, I'd be honored to. Where's it gonna be?
It's gonna be downstairs in Monty Hall.
Okay, and what time and day?
It's November 8th and 9th, 2026.
Can't do it.
Oh, you've made plans that far.
Well, I'm gonna be doing anything else.
Oh, it's November 13th and 14th, 2026.
Nah.
I just changed my mind. I moved it for you.
Nah, I don't care. Look, they're going to have to learn to hang up on themselves. It's something every boy has to learn for themselves.
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I really need the money. But this is an issue that I think... think I already wrote to Ken about for advice and haven't gotten an answer. But here's the situation.
What's your name?
I'm a scientist. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Robert.
Hi, Robert.
You know, listener Robert.
Yeah, Robert.
Anyway, I'm a scientist.
I'm sorry, Robert.
Yeah.
Andy doesn't like experts.
Here's the problem. I've met a, you're not my first scientist. That's your problem. Thank you.
What scientists have you met? You haven't met a scientist. You've met actors who play scientists.
Yeah, that's bad enough. That's bad enough.
You don't want to meet scientists.
I'm a scientist. When is that ever good news? When is that ever a big green light in a conversation?
Growing up, my house was crawling with scientists.
Were they?
It really was. Great. My dad would bring in scientists from all over the world.
And so
they would stay at our house.
In other words, you're thanking me for my buzzer.
You want to hear the best scientist story ever? One time, there was a scientist staying at our house, and I walked into the bathroom, and there was a wristwatch on the floor. And I didn't recognize the wristwatch. I figured it had to belong to the scientist. So I picked up the wristwatch, and I gave it to him, and I said, oh, here, this must be yours. And he said, oh, yes, I left it on the floor. And I'm like, why did you leave it on the floor? He said, can you guess what he said?
He said, it's inexplicable. He said, you wouldn't understand. He said, someday you may understand.
He said, so that it wouldn't fall down and break. That was his response. World famous scientist.
World famous scientist.
Yep. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my name's Joplin. I'm a doctor. I don't need the money.
Hi, Joplin.
But I have a funny story. Hi. I'm a long-time listener. So I have another story about house cleaners, mysterious house cleaning story.
Uh-huh.
I had this patient who was dying of cancer, and I felt really bad that I decided that I would...
come on. Dr. Joplin, Andy just buzzed you at 25 seconds.
You had me. I was in love with you when you said, I don't need the money. That I loved about you. So you started, you couldn't have started at a higher level.
And then she
you were
said
at a 10.
She was a doctor.
Then you were a doctor, and then you revealed that your story involved house cleaning. You lose a lot of points, right there. And then,
I don't care.
Nobody cares. And then there's cancer. There's someone with cancer. Honey, let me tell you about a story. A story should be compelling and uplifting. A story should make you laugh, make you look forward. No, honey, house cleaners and cancer. Honey, I'm sorry. I love you.
She's a doctor.
Right. Yeah, doctor.
Don't call her honey. She's a doctor.
No, I guess you're right.
Doctor Honey.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling.
I wanted to find out what happened.
You did, really?
Yeah.
About what? The house cleaners or the cancer patient? Which part of the story compelled you?
I had a feeling that the cancer patient was going to survive.
I had a feeling that the cancer patient would be forced to finish the cleaning the kitchen. Loading. So, I had a feeling that somebody was going to force a cancer patient to load the dishwasher.
Whoever holds Andy's attention the longest wins $140, and right now it's Jeff at 1:04.
And his story, you would agree with this, I know, Ken, was stupid.
No, I found it interesting.
Yeah, it was pretty stupid, but he's in the lead.
Although actually I knew something almost identical to what he was saying, so I was very curious about where it was going.
He can't talk forever.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Bandit.
Hey, Bandit.
I had the poem up. Oh, no, where'd it go? My long two-pointed ladder sticking through a tree. Toward heaven still, and there's a barrel that I didn't fill. Beside it, and there, maybe two or three apples I didn't pick upon some burrow. But I am done with apple picking now. Essence of winter's sleep is on the night. The scent of apples, I am drowsing off. I cannot rub the strangeness from my sight. I got from looking through the pane of glass. I skimmed this morning from the drinking trough.
What a poem!
I love that poem, but it was perhaps the worst rendition I've ever heard of the poem.
Hey, I serve the police.
Okay. That's Carl Sandburg's poem?
No, that's Robert Frost after apple picking. But, you know, when there's no comma after a line, you just keep reading. You don't pause. That's how poetry works.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my sorry, Lord.
It's very much like speaking English.
Thanks, Bandit. So you're in love with this Robert Frost poem.
I do. I'm a Robert Frost guy. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Really? That's interesting? It's interesting to me. I think that's what Bethy was trying to get.
Did he write To Build a Fire?
Is No, that's Jack London, a short story.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, what the hell are you...
I like that one. He needed to get warm.
Are you just waking up?
He needed to get warm, so he built a fire.
And do you remember the big surprise ending?
Yeah, and then the fire warmed up the snow
off the tree branches
above him. And everything came down and put the fire out, got all over him. It got inside his jacket.
Exactly.
And he caught pneumonia and died.
I feel that way every Wednesday between 6 and 7. I feel like the character. Hey, what's it like to be on the radio every week? You know what I say?
What?
You ever read that short story, To Build a Fire?
Oh, I know that short story.
You know how that character felt when the ice came down?
Yes, and?
That's me every day, every week.
Oh, don't start talking yet. I got to bring up my timer. Oh, no, that's my... Okay, hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Yeah, this is Brian O.D. from Newark. I have a story for you.
Great. Go ahead, Brian.
When my daughter was 8 years old, she had a sledding accident.
Oh,
I can't hear.
Oh,
I'm
Brian.
So sorry. I can't hear sad stories.
Andy, such
it's a
softy.
Happy story.
No.
He's such a
8 year old
softy.
Girl, Brian, sledding accident.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a sledding accident?
Oh my God, they're the worst. You can die. You go head first into a tree or something.
Oh no. Oh yeah, I've seen some bad
stuff. Oh, they're the worst.
Yeah.
And we have a very steep hill in our backyard. I always worry about it.
Yeah, I've
seen it brought up. That's like a trigger. I had a trigger effect. I couldn't hear that story.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. So why don't you thank me sometimes after my buzzer?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Although even though you hit the buzzer, it brought back the memories of me seeing the sledding accident that I saw.
Just you.
Yeah.
Just imagining you seeing a sledding accident has traumatized me.
Kid almost got his head split open from another sled.
Oh, no, don't. Why do you tell? What? The whole point.
Kidwin.
The whole point of the buzzer is to move on.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, my. Yeah. Hey, why don't we do that every week for a year? Sledding accident stories. Every week. No, I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear about. I'm sure one kid with a metal sled into another kid.
Oh, yeah.
For the love of God, please,
that's
Ken.
That's exactly what
I'm
happened.
I'm begging you now.
Oh, my God, were you there?
I'll give you $5 to just change the subject.
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Oh, wow, I can't believe I got through.
I can't believe it either.
Hold on, let me show you things.
What's your name?
Okay, you guys can hear me?
Yeah, what's your name?
Great, my name's Andrew. And I have been waiting to tell Andrew's story for like 16 years.
Okay,
whoa. It's the most surreal moment of my entire life, incidentally, is intertwined with his old TV show with the detective.
Uh-huh.
Right?
He's telling a monk story?
No.
So, I was living in San Francisco, say, 2000.
He's telling a monk story.
I had this rich kid friend.
It's a monk story.
He wanted to be an outlaw.
He's a wise guy.
I helped him get something set up.
He's a wise guy telling a monk story.
And I had financial problems. He's like, come on, just take it first. So,
thank
sorry,
you.
42 seconds.
No, I didn't even follow.
Which episode was that?
I have no idea. He was trying to curry my favor. Hey, I've never used the word curry out loud before.
That's great.
Have you ever said that, curry my favor, out loud?
I've never used it either.
You heard it here. Let's mark the time, 6:46.
All right, right now, Jeff.
I may die before I say that phrase again.
Jeff is still in the lead with 1:04. Whoever can hold Andy's attention the longest wins $140. And let's go to the next
call. I've got
to
Venmo this kid $140.
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. My name is Marie, and I have a story.
Hi, Marie. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
One time, right around this time of year, I'd say in the late 1990s, I was out with a friend, and we were at an after-hours bar. It was probably about 3 or 4 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking to this guy, and he had, like, long, curly hair and wire-rimmed glasses, and he seemed nice and just like not dangerous, you know? And he asked us if we wanted to go to a Halloween party.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, yeah, sure. So we go out and get in the car, his car, and I get in the back seat, and she gets in the front seat. And slowly but surely, as we're driving there, he's not saying a word. He starts putting on Freddy Krueger makeup.
Whoa.
Like on his face.
As he's driving.
Whoa. And my friend is looking back at me, and I'm looking at her, and I didn't even know who Freddy Krueger was, but I knew this was scary. And we just really didn't know what to do.
Oh, baby, how old were you?
Oh, well, I was in my 30s.
Imagine if this was true.
This is true.
I guess it is true. Okay, then I would say...
Is Freddy Krueger the Hellraiser guy? No, he's
not. I think
he's
the guy from Halloween.
Sorry.
My God, Marie, you're in the lead.
Once we started talking about what Freddy Krueger's providence was, I kind of lost
interest. Marie hit 1 minute 18 seconds.
All right.
Marie,
one of my good stories.
You know what, Marie, you know what would have been even more compelling if you had started the story was, let me tell you why I only have one arm. And then tell the story. That would have made, because without
that actually sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, without that intro, we know you survived. Yeah, we know you and your friend survived.
Yes.
Okay, but that is for any parent, that's a nightmare to.
It turns out he was a food scientist at Kraft.
Yeah.
And the party was just a few blocks away.
No,
it wasn't scary.
No, now it's even worse.
Well, Marie, you're in the lead, and the show is over in about 10 minutes. So
okay. If
you win, then email me at ken@wfmu.org.
I will. And you know what, Ken? I'll donate the money right back to FMU.
Oh come on. No. No. Hoisted by my own petard. No. Oh, brilliantly played, Ken.
Nice petard.
Yeah, thanks, baby.
Thanks, Marie.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
all right, Marie's in the lead
with her creepy food scientist from Kraft.
The time to beat is 1 minute 18 seconds.
What percentage of the food scientists at Kraft do you think are creepy?
Oh, all food scientists are creepy.
No, the answer might surprise you.
What is it?
75%.
75%?
Yeah, 3 out of 4.
Oh, who are the non-creepy food
scientists? You can't make that stuff up.
I think Robert, who called earlier, I think he's a food scientist. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, Breckman and Friedman.
Oh, it's Sean from Edinburgh.
That's great.
Hey, Sean.
Oh, God, save me.
You're going to need more than God to save you.
He's calling all the way from Scotland.
I don't believe a word of this.
Ah, well, that's nice. Wait a minute.
You didn't even let him get started.
He never got off the launch pad. You're welcome, America.
I'm sorry, Sean. The phone number is 201-209-9368. The time to beat is Marie with 1 minute 18 seconds.
May I recommend either a poem by Robert Frost or a story where young girls are trapped in a car with a food scientist?
Miles to Go Before I Sleep. Is that Robert Frost?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay. I knew one of them.
There you go.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, for a long time, I used to go to bed early. Sometimes when I'd put out my candle, my eyes would close so quickly that I had not even time to say to myself, I'm falling asleep in a half hour.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tom. I was dying to find out what happened.
Yeah. Another little hint from your Uncle Andy.
Yep.
Any story that includes this phrase, before I had time to blow out my candle, just move on.
These are good. These are good writing tips.
Yeah, you only get one life.
From a professional Hollywood TV writer.
One wild and precious life.
Hi, you're on the air.
Okay, I got a story, and it has to do with Jack DeJohnette. You know, he just died.
The famous.
Okay, so my family and I once ate dinner with Jack DeJohnette.
Wow.
Yeah, really. We were at the Clearwater Festival. I think it was like 2009 or 2010.
Oh, yeah, Pete Seeger's old festival.
Yeah, the Clearwater Festival.
Yeah,
you know, like all the...
Okay, you know what? I'm so sorry, but I am familiar with Pete Seeger.
Uh-huh.
I've heard Pete Seeger.
Yeah.
I'm not letting Pete Seeger in
into
any story.
But Jack DeJohnette is so cool.
Yeah.
We ate dinner with him.
Yeah, great.
I love Jack DeJohnette.
Yeah.
I wanted to find out what he was really like.
Well, we know he ate dinner. We know he attended folk festivals. Really?
Yeah,
what
was he doing at a folk festival?
Really? Who cares? Oh, my God, I love this buzzer.
Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you, God, for this buzzer.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is Lakeisha. I love your radio station.
Lakeisha.
Yeah, Lakeisha.
Lakeisha.
Now we got off the launch pad.
Okay.
Wonder what Lakeisha's doing right now. Laughing and giggling with her little friends.
Hi, you're on the air.
All her little friends at the sleepover.
Hey, okay. So first off, I've heard other people say it. I need the money. And that's true. I'm doing a DoorDash right now.
Yeah.
Anyway,
And now tell the story about how you lost your left arm.
How I lost my left arm?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, when they tell you not to climb into the lion cage, they're not messing around. And they got the sign there because of me now.
Wait, you climbed into a lion's cage at a zoo?
Yeah, well, it wasn't easy, but there was a zookeeper asleep next, 10 feet away, and he had a ladder next to him. So, I put two and two together, and I thought, why not?
Oh!
A zookeeper. Here we go, Ken. A zookeeper 10 feet away.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. I'm not done. And he had a ladder next to him. That is desperation.
Well,
yeah.
If you're a zookeeper, you need a ladder.
Yeah.
Because
go, take that story to any bar in New York. What girl could resist?
Somebody like this guy might climb into the lion's
cage.
Hey,
honey, you want to know how I got this scar? There was a zookeeper 10 feet away, and he was asleep, and he had a ladder next to him.
Okay, we only have 5 minutes left.
Thank God.
Marie is in the lead with the Freddy Krueger story.
I've given my buzzer a hell of a workout, didn't I?
1 minute, 18 seconds. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Brian in New Paltz.
Hey, Brian.
Andy, I'd like to talk to you about the importance of pasteurizing raw milk prior to consumption. Now, there are two types of pasteurization. There's traditional HTSD pasteurization, which involves heating the milk to a temperature of 161 degrees Fahrenheit for 15 seconds.
That's the good kind.
There's ultra-high temperature pasteurization, which involves heating the milk to a temperature of...
That's the evil kind of pasteurization.
Imagine if I had forgotten to buzz that kid and I had to send him a check.
Yeah, what are you doing? You're not even paying attention anymore.
Well, tell me, why do you think that is, Ken? Have you been listening?
We only have a couple of minutes left.
Hey, it's going to get to the point very soon where no one could break the record.
It's true. We're getting there. Hi, you're on the air.
I am?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Go ahead.
Hi, Ken. My name's Karen.
Hey, Karen.
I know you, Ken. I have never lost my arm, but last night I did have to get a rabies shot at the ER.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I got two shots in my finger because I got bit by a squirrel on my finger.
Oh, my God. Where
so
did
they had
this...
To shoot, they had, I was feeding squirrels. It's a new habit of mine. Come on.
I was feeding squirrels.
Yeah.
Period. New sentence. That's a new habit of mine. Thank you. Thank you, sweetheart.
Not an old one.
Okay.
It was a pleasure. Love you guys.
Okay, love you
Thanks,
guys.
Thanks, Karen. I think she meant hobby.
Yeah.
Not habit.
Yeah. Either way.
Hobby.
Either way. Yeah, I want to hear about your new hobby. When involving the feeding of the squirrels.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Samuel Fraser.
Hi, Sam.
I never met Jack DeJohnette, but I went to grade school with his daughter, Minya.
Minya DeJohnette?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, anyway, but I got a great story.
Your God.
Hi, Sam. Hi, you're on the air.
Directive. Back out of all this now, too much for us. Back in time, made simple by loss of detail. Burned. Dissolved, and broken off like graveyard marble sculpture in the weather. There is a house that is no more a house, upon a farm that is no more a farm.
He's reading, this is Robert Frost, it's a very long poem. It's a beautiful poem.
The road there, if you'll let a guy direct you, who only has a heart, at heart you're getting lost, may seem as if it should have been a quarry. Great monolithic knees, the former town long since gave up.
It was a quarry.
I can recommend that poem to anyone, but
what's the name of that poem?
It's called Directive. It's a poem he wrote later in life.
Uh-huh. Who knew that you were a big Robert Frost fan?
Drink and be whole again, beyond confusion. That's the last line of that poem.
Wow. Hi, you're on the air.
Andy, I'm having a baby.
There you go.
Right now?
I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Let's talk about this payment you're going to make every month to the baby, Andy Jr.
I, You have my full attention, honey.
Little teeny tiny baby Cambodia Jesus Andy.
And how did this?
I'll take 120.
Andy,
I'm having your baby. I would tell you, I don't walk away from conversations that begin that way very often. Andy, I'm having your baby.
Yeah, that was good.
That was pretty great.
Well, we have time for one more contestant.
Well, how could they win?
Because we have 3 minutes left.
Okay.
No, we have 2 minutes left.
Okay, well, this has to be
Hi,
it.
You're on the air.
Hi, this is Bonnie from Bethel.
Hi, Bonnie.
I can't believe I got on the air. I have a story about how I was an extra in the movie Kite Runner in Beijing, China.
Kite Runner.
A study abroad student.
Wow. Who made Kite Runner?
Have you seen the movie Kite Runner?
I've heard of it.
It does not take place in China. It takes place in Afghanistan and San Francisco, but they filmed in China because they, couldn't film in Afghanistan or Kabul. So they were filming out in Western China. And they needed to fill a marketplace to make it look like San Francisco in Beijing. So basically they needed a bunch of white people.
Uh-huh.
And they went out to all of the universities that had foreign exchange students and got us to go and be in this marketplace for 2 days. And you know what? They paid us and they didn't...
Oh, Bonnie, that was a great story. I know that was going places.
You know, I have to say, I've never seen Kite Runner. If I had seen Kite Runner, I might be a little curious. But if you've never seen Kite Runner, to be honest, I don't think I've ever heard of Kite Runner.
You've never heard of the Kite Runner?
No, the story means nothing to me. So the big marketplace scene in Kite Runner, I can't even picture it. It means nothing.
Yeah.
But congratulations.
Man, I was going to talk about racism next.
Oh, wait. Are you for it or against it? Because Ken and I are against it.
Yes. I'm totally against
it. Oh, we are too.
We are too. High five, everybody.
Okay.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Oh, thank you.
Good story.
Yeah, we would have had another soldier in our fight against racism.
And the winner is Marie with the Freddy Krueger story. Marie, email me, ken@wfmu.org, and I'll hook you up with Andy.
And I have $140
for you. Andy's got $140.
Man, is it me? Do I have a short attention span, or is it just we have just lame listeners?
No, you're just a nasty, mean person. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County.
That would explain it.
At 91.9, online at WFMU.org. Thank you, Jeremiah, for busting your butt on the newsletter.
And thank you, Pam.
Each and every week.
Any other show, Pam, you'd have the run of the field. You'd be on for an hour.
And thanks to everybody who donated to the Heck Raiser. Please keep going. We're going until Friday night. Stay tuned for 21 Lounge with Don Fleming.
Call us lucky, you and I, lucky girl, lucky guy, and when I hold your hand or touch your cheek, I know I'm a lifetime lucky streak, a lucky rainbow lights the sky. When we kiss, when we sigh, they call me lucky, Mr. Lucky Guy. And you're the reason why. Evening, chillin'. This is Don Hayes from the Mark 2100 21 Lounge, right on the ocean in Fort Lauderdale.
And we have a nice little group here tonight, and we're going to give you a rendition of what we do every night. Thank you, Chillin.
One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Well, go, can't go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. You can do anything, lay off of my blue suede shoe. You pull my hair, shake my face, rattle my name all over the place. Do anything that you want to do. Tender, love me dear, take me to your heart, for it's there that I'm bound, and we'll never part. Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfilled. Oh, my darling, I love you, and I always will. Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfilled. Oh, my I will spend my whole life through loving you, just loving you. Winter, summer, and springtime too, loving you, loving you. Makes no difference where I go, what I do. You know that I'll always be loving you, just you. I'm seen with someone new, don't be blue, don't you be blue, 'cause I'll be faithful and I'll be true, always true. Suspicious minds of an old
Fernando comes by to say hello, would I still see suspicion in your eyes? Yeah, here we go again, asking where I've been. Can't you see? Said I needed you. You said you would always stay. It wasn't me that changed with you. And now you've gone away. Don't you know? You don't have to stay forever. I will understand. Please.